The polish and the professionalism just shine through. There's something just delightful about that. This is not that moment. So this is the story about giving thanks. What is it? Oh, A Path to Peace. Such a cool idea. Giving thanks, A Path to Peace. And it's a funny thing. You'll all have known all about this already. And you'll think, is she just now getting in it? But anyway, I live in the biggest room in the world. Is it up there? Oh, cool. I love that this works. It's the room for improvement. Some of you are familiar with that room, and you'll feel right at home today. What I wanted to share today, I love to share things that I am good at. But God does, like this, I'm not all right, like this and this. I actually am somewhat good at jumping horses. All right, I'm not that good at it, but I'd rather share about that because at least I can do that with confidence, and I feel strong jumping horses. But sometimes it does end up like that. It ended up like that fairly recently for me, more like that one, I think, where the horse I was jumping saw a bit of sunlight, and as he jumped, it startled him because we weren't that used to sunlight at that time of year, kind of like now. And cobblestone can leap to the side so fast. And he leaped to the side, and I did not. And so I fell on my shoulder, and I knew immediately, since I couldn't lift my arm up, that it wasn't very good. So I had 5 tears in my rotator cuff and had to have rotator cuff surgery. So I'm not that good at riding, but I'd rather share about that. But so it seems like instead of that, the Lord has me sharing about things that I'm barely beginning to grasp, just taking baby steps in some challenging area. So it's your day to feel smug. You'll be pleased at how far ahead of me you are in everything I share about. You'll feel like, oh my goodness, I'm a lot further along the path than she is. So we'll look at Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every... Let's read it together like Arden does. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Well, I always thought it was like this. One column for prayer and petition, and another, quite separate, for thanks. Troubles and darkness here, sunshine and happiness and butterflies here. So you do this, and then you do that. Beg. Help. Thanks. And that they were very separate things. I'm taking baby steps, practicing a new way of applying this. Cleone gave me a book, the book Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. You've probably had some of those wonderful devotions. She gave it to me at a time where I took it to Maui, and when Mom and I were caring for my brother throughout his last months of life, we would read these devotions together. We soon found we needed to read them in the morning and in the evening and sometimes at noon. So they're quite rich and wonderful. I'm going through it for the second year, and I keep discovering new ways to apply it. Sarah says about thankfulness, when you bring me prayer requests, lay out your concerns before me, speak to me candidly, pour out your heart, then thank me for the answers that I have set into motion long before you can discern results. When your requests come to mind again, continue to thank me for the answers that are on the way. If you keep on stating your concerns to me, you'll live in a state of tension. When you thank me for how I'm answering your prayers, your mindset becomes much more positive. Thankful prayers keep your focus on my presence and my promises. So, I mean, lots of you know these aren't two separate lists. they go together. But I'm just getting it, so you have to kind of bear with me. Let's look at the Amplified Version. Let's read it together. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus is yours. And this is the way to have it. Because if you bring it to him and thank him for the answer on the way, it doesn't stand alone. Like, Lord, you still haven't answered this prayer. It's awful. Didn't I tell you I need it right away? You know, and take it back from him where you gave it to him, but you take it back because it's right in front of you again. So the Amplified Version kind of helps us think it through. I notice it increases my faith and trust, and it protects my joy and peace to pray this way, to put these things together. I want to pray fervently, and I have prayers for loved ones that are deeply important to me. I am certain you do as well. Until now, I've just kept presenting my requests fervently and often. As I apply this, always including thanks for his hearing me and having a plan, and being in the process of supplying an answer, I rest in him better. A closely linked verse is this, Colossians 4:2. Let's read it together. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And it goes together, and it's all through Scripture. If you start looking for it, you can see, oh, I mean, you guys all have this. I'm just learning it, so. As I pray this way, you might recognize these people. Calvin and his beloved cousin, Aaron, who is 11 now, my goodness. As I pray this way, I found it thankful to hold a stone and pray, then sink the stone into the river or a lake. You can learn great things from children. And see, I'd be playing with the boys. They wouldn't even know that I was praying for them and putting that stone in the river as I threw rocks with them. I'm surprised there's still any rocks near Louisville. I think of my prayer sinking into the deep well of God's love and power, and it is easier to thank him for the answer on its way. Or I place a rock. You might recognize these people too. These are buddies. This is David and Christine and Aaron. They have always been buddies. And I've watched them from when they were very little and all through the age. This is at Battleground Lake. They have stayed good friends, and in spite of some things, as you can imagine, because your daughter and Aaron, when they were little, we got together, and I was trying to explain to Aaron that she should go first because she was the guest, and they had this tug of war, no, I'm the guest, I'm the guest. They didn't understand who was the guest anyway, and the idea was that I get it first, I think is the whole idea, but anyway. So you can imagine they've had some tough tussles, but they're just very delightful friends. So sometimes I'll put a rock under a favorite tree on my walks as I whisper a prayer. It's then a memorial of the prayer and rests under one of the big northwest trees that still stand when all is going awry. If he can make the forests, he can manage my cry for help. Many of you here have rocks with your name on them at Louisville Park. Just in prayer, I don't actually write your name on it, okay? But I look at them, I take them and put them under this tree and commit them to the Lord. And then when I pray and thank him that the answer's on the way, I remember setting that there and giving it to him. A verse for our comfort is Jeremiah 31:13. For I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them and give them joy for their sorrow. Here's an example of a prayer I pray for a loved one who has not yet committed himself to the Lord. Let's call him Devin. Heavenly Father, I lift Devin up to you. I love how wonderfully you made him and what a great man he has become. I know you care even more than I do that he surrender to you. Please be wooing his heart and connecting with his spirit. Please surround him with your people and use them in his life. Help me be faithful in the people around me who need you, as I am asking for Christians in Devin's life to be faithful to share with him. You know my deep concern. This really matters. I now entrust you with this. I thank you that the answer is on its way. I believe you are even now working on his behalf. I wait and watch and thank you. And so now I would like you to turn to one person, or there can be three of you, and just spend 2 minutes answering one of these prayers. You can choose one of these three questions to answer. What prayer is the one that keeps you in a state of tension and gnaws at you? And if that's a tough one to share, you could share number three. Number two is, how would it change that prayer if you start thanking for God for how he's answering it? Or do you have a physical way of representing your prayer that helps you, like my stone in the lake or under a tree? Is there a physical thing you could do to commit it to the Lord? And this can be kind of a creative thing for you artsy people. You know, I am not an artsy person, but you could do something to commemorate it that you could look at. And so you could answer one of these three questions. Just turn to one or two people. You can have two people or three in a group and answer one of those questions. What prayer is the one that keeps you in a state of tension and gnaws at you? How would that change it if you start thanking God for it? And do you have a physical way to represent this prayer? I have a part two, but you have 2 minutes to share with someone one of these things. You can choose easy or hard, two or three people. Thank you. All right, I know you're in the middle of this. Hold your thought. I hope that you can, the prayers that matter deeply to you and gnaw at you and are deeply important, that you can begin to start thanking God that he's answering it. So let's read this together. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Those of you who know me, which do you think I would choose? Joyful in hope. Yes, call me, call me. The Lord has not yet let me talk about things I'm good at. He likes, as you know, for me to toddle along on shaky baby legs and clearly reveal my huge room for improvement. So I will talk about patient in affliction. I'm going to use a phrase that that young people use. I suck at this. If you get nothing else from my talk, you can at least have a smug feeling that you do better at this than I do. I fuss and howl and try to wiggle out. You've heard people say, and she never complained. That is not me, okay? They will never ever say that about me. I am best at deciding to speed up the process, especially if it involves physical healing. If the doctor says 6 weeks recovery, I try to be back at my sports in 4 weeks or less. And why? Because those estimates are for the general public. But surely not for me. This is not funny. I'll tell you when the funny part is. Laura Lee calls it terminal uniqueness. And it can be terminal, especially if I disregard the red flags on the beach and leap into the huge waves because, well, the flags, red flags are probably for older, frail people. So let's see if my clicker will work. So this was a day Arden was riding his motorcycle in Maui, and he went to Kaenai Peninsula. And the waves, he said, were bigger than I've ever seen, and they came across the road, and there was debris everywhere, and this is some more of them, and it was such a big wave day. And he had a thought. I sure hope Janet isn't trying to swim today after her shoulder surgery. So I, in the meanwhile, was doing chores with my mom and rubbing her feet, and I got all these things done, and I hadn't been able to swim in the ocean for 2 days because the waves were too big. And my physical therapist said, if they are lower than your knee, then you could go in. And so I was ready to swim. I was like, at last, there's a moment for me. I get to go swimming in the ocean. And so I went to this beach, which it looks lovely, and it was perfect that day, but this was not that day. This was the day that you saw the big waves where Arden was, and they were not that big. I would know better than to go in if they were that big. And I heard them kind of crashing, which is not the best sign, but I thought, oh, like, that one isn't that bad. I think once I get past that, I will do fine. I was trying to explain to the Lord, I have been swimming on this beach since 1956, and I'm young and strong. Just saying the word 1956 did remind me, you are not that young, and not that strong, and this is not for you today. And I was... And that's when I listened, and then I did notice the red flags were out. I had told the Lord if the red flags were out, I wouldn't go swimming. But if you go straight down and don't look to either side, you won't see the red flags. And it's okay because you didn't see them. It's hardly your fault, right? But then I listened, and you know who God sounded like? He sounded a lot like Toni Woodard. She's my mentor in this. She's a lot like me in this area. So I know she understands, and I can hear her. She is a stellar example in this. After paying a very steep price for cutting short a recovery period, because she was a lot like that, she now pours her energy into doing recovery right. She even has a spreadsheet for her physical therapy exercises, which she shared with me. And because Toni leaped ahead and does it like me and paid such a steep price and was able to turn the corner and be different, I can hear her voice. And that's my advice to you. If you have a room for improvement area, find a Christian sister or brother who truly understands and is ahead of you on the path. It wouldn't have helped me to talk with someone who has always been perfect at it. But someone like me who has stumbled many times and the price is very high and she's ahead of me on the path, I could hear her. She taught me another thing. If you are trying to hide it from Arden, probably God doesn't want you to do it. I mean, that's simple, right? You would know that. But I usually explain to God, well, I cannot leave this tree untrimmed and that one trimmed. It looks so silly. And Arden told you not to trim the trees in the dark and not to trim them when he's not home. He says, if you fall and die, the neighbors will hate me. Anyway, Toni taught me that your husband will be much more relaxed if you can hear these things and are not, what my mom says, becoming a problem. Yes, becoming a problem. So you don't have to find someone who's always been good at it. Find someone who is like four steps ahead of you on the path and who understands how your brain works, and they can help you sort it out in simple ways. Like, you could always probably hear God talk to you in these areas. For me, I think about Toni and I think about Arden, and if Arden wouldn't like it, God probably wouldn't like it. But you don't have to be great at it. Baby steps is okay. So remember how in Acts 26:14, the Apostle Paul said, we all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Oh, first, I didn't go swimming in the ocean that day. And the next day, Arden, it was a nice day, and he took me snorkeling. We got to swim in the nice ocean, and I found out the world did not come to an end. It was not that horrible. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And you know that when a stubborn ox attempts to kick back against the goad that is causing it discomfort, the ox will actually inflict more pain, driving the pointed end deeper into its flesh. When Jesus rebuked Saul, who would soon become the Apostle Paul, for kicking against the goads, he was telling the proud Pharisee he was only hurting himself in resisting the truth and teaching of Christ. The more he resisted, the more he suffered. The harder he kicked, the deeper the goad drove into his flesh. But look with me at the great tenderness in Jesus' words. He does not say, it is hard for my people who you're persecuting, or it is hard for me, but rather Jesus says, it is hard for you, Saul. It is startling when we realize that our Savior is always thinking about the sinner, even when we're busily sowing seeds of our own sorrow. I'm sure we would all agree from personal experience that it is indeed hard for us when we kick against the goads. Who but the Savior could think such compassionate thoughts of a man who was intent on persecuting his church? When Saul finally reached that point, nothing could stop him. He poured out his life to bring the gospel to the nation, and no earthly obstacle would deter him. Not the whip, not false witnesses, not trials or tribulations, or his excruciating thorn in the flesh. Paul, by God's grace, ran his course and was able to say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I pray that everyone will be able to say that in the end. I think when we look at the future and the book of Revelation, true affliction is coming for Christians. What we have now in the way of physical affliction can help us prepare for how to be patient in true affliction. There are areas where I can be patient. With a woman in labor, I'm with you night and day till the baby is here. I never weary of it. I am present with you. I've got this. With my brother, it took me a little bit to realize, okay, this is my life right now. For however long you're here upon the earth, and I'll happily give up my life at home and be present here, and I'm in it. I realized if I had it to do over again, I might be a hospice nurse, because there are times where you just know, this is where God wants me, this is where I need to be, and he'll give me the patience for it. But I think the times to come, our time of favor in our nation as Christians may be, coming to an end, and we need to be able to be patient in affliction in some of these other areas so that we'll have practice for those days. With my foot surgery, I did try to rollerblade with the knee scooter and a rollerblade, but I didn't have Arden help me. I had Melissa help me. She wasn't too sure about it either. But this last time with my shoulder, I turned my focus to doing it well, and it saved me a lot of time and frustration by accepting it and following the rules. Oh, I know, I'm 63. I should have gotten this by now. You can shine at this and much earlier. So I just want you to take 2 minutes and answer one of these questions. You can choose either one. You can be with the same person or persons, or that'd be fine. Where have you increased your suffering because you continue to kick against the goads? And where are you on a scale of 1 to 10 in yielding to the Lord in this area? And if you don't like those questions, you can choose another one, because you may not have any of this. I may be all alone here. Like, I look around at some of the saints and I think, I don't think they have these. I think it might just be me. But if maybe in the past, in your young and youthful days, where you knew God was directing you away from something or towards something, and you, Nadine, my mother-in-law says, you're having a hissy fit about it. And you just didn't want to. So in the past or in the present, where have you increased your suffering because you continue to kick against the goads? And where are you on a scale of 1 to 10 in yielding to the Lord in this area? And then I'm going to have one or two of you share about what we talked about before, maybe a physical way that you remember a prayer, maybe the prayer that you are praying that is very tough for you, or one of these answers. So take a couple minutes and share about this. And then those of you who are willing, we'll just ask a couple of you to share one of your answers.
I'm going to increase your time because these were what I understood as your table discussion questions and all, and I think 2 minutes might go rather quickly. And also, just to point out, I think it's great we can do a little sharing, but we also have sharing built in a little bit later. So I know, you know, it's nice to have time to think ahead about what you might say in the large group setting. So go ahead, relax, enjoy togetherness, and we'll come back to this.